Schools That Learn, a fifth discipline fieldbook for educators, parents, and everyone who cares about education, by Peter Senge and others. The drive to learn. Learning is deeply personal and inherently social. It connects us not just to knowledge in the abstract, but to each other. Why else would it matter so much when a teacher notices something special about a student? Throughout our lives, as we move from setting to setting, we encounter novelty and new challenges, small and large. If we are ready for them, living and learning become inseparable. The idea of a school that learns. Institutions of learning can be designed and run as learning organizations. In other words, schools can be made sustainably, vital, and creative, not by fiat or command or by regulation or forced rankings, but by adopting a learning orientation. This means involving everyone in the system in expressing their aspirations, building their awareness, and developing their capabilities together. In a school that learns, people who traditionally may have been suspicious of one another, parents and teachers, educators and business people, administrators and union members, people inside and outside the school walls, students and adults, recognize their common stake in each other's future and the future of their community. Core concepts of learning organizations. Effective school reform cannot happen until people move beyond superficial conceptions of educational systems and recognize the unseen values and attitudes about power, privilege, and knowledge that keep existing structures, regulations, and authority relationships in place. If there aren't fundamental shifts in how people think and interact, as well as in how they explore new ideas, then all the reorganizing, fads, and strategies in the world won't add up to much sustained improvement. Industrial Age Assumption About Learning. 1. Children are deficient and schools fix them. 2. Learning takes place in the head, not in the body as a whole. 3. Everyone learns or should learn in the same way. 4. Learning takes place in the classroom, not in the world. 5. There are smart kids and dumb kids. Industrial Age Assumptions About School. 1. Schools are run by specialists who maintain control. 2. Knowledge is inherently fragmented. 3. Schools communicate the truth. 4. Learning is primarily individualistic and competition accelerates learning. Fostering personal mastery with children. Children are particularly susceptible to emotional tension and lowered visions. They may believe adults who tell them that they can never have what they truly want, but they're also tuned into creative tension. They know how to focus their own attention on achieving what they want. The practice of personal mastery focuses on some of the most significant questions an adult can reflect upon. What are you really trying to create in your life? What is the nature of reality right now for you? And what do you choose? The practice works in a transcendent and yet matter-of-fact way, a way that every creative person recognizes and that is difficult to put into practice and into words. Dialogue in schools. In the practice of dialogue, we pay attention not only to the words, but to the spaces between the words. Not only to the result of an action, but its timing. Not only to the things people say, but to the timbre and tone of their voices. We listen for the meaning of the field of inquiry, not only as discrete elements. During the dialogue process, people learn how to think together, not just in the sense of analyzing a shared problem or creating new pieces of shared knowledge, but in the sense of occupying a collective sensibility, in which the thoughts, emotions, and resulting actions belong not to one individual, but to all of them together. In your school or school system, fostering a series of dialogues on important subjects can gradually establish a container in which people experience the primacy of the whole. You'll be able to talk safely about controversial issues, such as union rules or disagreements about the curriculum, in a dispassionate space, where people are encouraged to raise questions without having to leap to resolution. All children can learn. A learning classroom embodies not just the understanding that all children can learn, but that students learn in multiple ways, that their abilities are not fixed at birth, and that people can gain skills and capabilities to a remarkable extent at any age. No matter what their background or past experience, in such a classroom, students recognize that part of their purpose is making sure that everyone succeeds. This is one reason why instruction in a learning classroom cannot simply mean transmission, the dissemination of information. If all students learn in different ways, the teacher must design and create an experience that enables everyone in the classroom to develop the knowledge, skills, capabilities, and awareness they need to participate in their world. The role of parents. Ironically, parents are often the most resistant to changes in the ways their children's work is assessed. Most parents know that grades and test scores don't reflect their children's learning, but they are so used to the grading systems from their own school experiences that they still give them a primary focus. This can be counterproductive, and if parents intervene, the teacher assumes they are interested only in improving the assessment, not the student's work. Teachers can make a difference here by simply letting parents speak first and at length, and by truly listening before they present their case. But the most effective approach is to let students lead the conference. Students should not just attend, but should moderate the conversation and raise critical questions. when a student asks the teacher directly to explain why points were taken off in an essay or how to improve their work on the next assignment, it shows everyone that the student is actually interested in learning. In the end, the most powerful tool that parents have as advocates of their children is to educate the children to ask teachers the necessary questions. Intelligent behaviors, managing impulsivity. Often, students blurt out the first answer that comes to mind. Sometimes they shout it out or start to work without fully understanding the directions. They may take the first suggestion given to them or operate on the first idea that pops into their head. But as they gain intelligence, they learn to consider the alternatives and consequences of several possible decisions. That's when we see them making fewer corrections on their papers, gathering much information before they begin a task. Why systems literacy matters. To be literate means to have a well-educated understanding of a particular subject, like a foreign language or mathematics. In many fields, the knowledge must be comprehensive and capable enough that you can put it to use. Systems literacy represents that level of knowledge about complex interrelationships. It combines conceptual knowledge, knowledge of system principles and behaviors, and reasoning skills, for example, the ability to place situations in wider contexts. Qualities of effective school leaders. There seems to be a universal human tendency to design one's actions consistently according to four basic values. 1. To remain in unilateral control. 2. To maximize winning and minimize losing. 3. To suppress negative feelings. 4. To be as rational as possible, by which people mean defining clear objectives and evaluating their behavior in terms of whether or not they have achieved them. Those four values are the exact measurements of a good superintendent or principal, which is the principal do right model. 1. A good leader gains and remains in control at all times. 2. A good leader knows that winning isn't always possible, yet he is able to recast the exchange as learning, planning, or negotiation. 3. Negative feelings expressed by the principal indicate loss of control and maybe incompetence. 4. Even the emotional issues like unexpected violence, leaders are supposed to gain control, remain in control, and quickly come up with a rational plan for responding. Where children and adults learn. The traditional school is a place where adults seek to cause children to learn. By contrast, educating system citizens demands learning from everyone. Teachers invite inquiry in subjects that they have not mastered, because no one has mastered them. Children come to insights of genuine value to their teachers. Teachers learn with and from one another. Administrators create an environment that fosters trust, vulnerability, and shared vision. And along the way, they too become more open to seeing how their own behaviors must often change. Parents and community members get lured into the excitement and energy of a human community connecting with itself. As has happened for millennia, we genuinely value and listen to children. Their enthusiasm to learn and grow permeates our encrusted attitudes. Living and learning. An innate community-wide culture of learning would lead to fewer quick fixes that seem to work at first, but then backfire. The children, the culture, and all everyday practices would continually remind people of the real purpose of our endeavors, to look out for the long term.